Pardon me, Tanisha?
Don't forget your traveling, Grace.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Oh, Rick and I will be traveling to Lake Tahoe tomorrow for our son's wedding. So if you could lift us up in prayer for traveling, Grace, that would be awesome. And Declare Victory has an app where you can submit your prayer requests. That way, we encourage you to download the app and submit them that way. Information on the app can be found in the Victory Room, or you can ask a friend that has the app. Also, remember, family, that there is no more Sunday calls, as we will be observing the Sabbath. There are no online prayer requests. The order of the call is as follows. Scripture will be read by Robert. Declaration by Marcus. Prayer warrior number one will be E.K. Dawson. Prayer warrior number two will be Adrian. And prayer warrior number three will be Jeff. And closing us out today will be Dion. I'll repeat that. Scripture will be read by Robert. Declaration by Marcus. Prayer warrior number one will be E.K. Dawson. Prayer warrior number two will be Adrian. Prayer warrior number three will be Jeff. And closing us out today will be Theon. Please, everyone, don't forget to mute your lines by using your standard mute button, or you can use star 6. And also, I forgot one spoken prayer request, which was from Sister Julia. She's hurting really bad today. She can hardly walk. She attended and helped out in two funerals the last couple of days. So with that said, I will go ahead and pass the call to Robert. Everyone have a wonderful and beautiful day. God bless you as I pass the call.
Good morning. Happy Friday to everyone. I hope everyone has a great weekend. I'm going to be reading out of Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 9, out of the NIV version. Is not this the fast I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will appear quickly. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word as I pass the call.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Robert. And good morning, everyone. Once again, this is Marcus. And thank you, Susie, for greeting and for hosting. And I'm excited to share with you all once again. We are coming to the end of June. Can you believe it? We are almost through with 2016 and going into the seventh month of the year. And I pray that God is blessing you all. I pray that you all are experiencing God's, richest blessings and appreciating the fact that God has given us grace. And also, one of the things about this call is that every day, the days that we are on the call, we receive a word, we receive, opportunity to pray with other believers and to get some encouraging words through our Love, Life, and Victory discussions. And so today I want to kind of bring some awareness and encourage our brothers once again. For the past couple of weeks, past couple of Fridays, I've been talking about men and helping us all to understand men and where we are. I'm going to ask you all again to don't forget to press star six on your phone to make sure that it's muted. You can also use the standard mute feature on your phone. It should be a button you can press that says mute, just to protect the continuity of the call, to make sure that there's no background noise during the call. It can get kind of tedious when the person who is praying or doing a declaration has to stop and say, please mute your line because there's noise. So let me also say this. I know sometimes we can, accidentally press the mute button you know, because we're carrying the phone or whatever the case may be. So if you press the mute button and star six, then you have a less, you know, there's less of a chance that you'll end up accidentally unmuting. All right, let's get started. So 2 weeks ago, two Fridays ago, we talked about those two words that can mess up a man or that can kind of take a man in the wrong direction. We talked about man up. And then last week we talked about how we can help a broken man, praying for him and supporting him, encouraging him. Today I want to get very specific about what things that we can pray for and we can be aware of with our men. I would like to start with the scripture, and the scripture I'll be coming from is 1 Peter 5 and 6 through 8. 1 Peter 5 and 6 through 8. Now, it's important to understand that this scripture is actually, that portion of the scripture is actually only referenced because the entire fifth chapter is the actual focus, but I just wanted to zero in on 1 Peter 5 and 6 through 8 because that's where we hang our head, but I will be referring to the entire chapter. So 1 Peter 5 and 6 through 8 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he careth for you. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." I'm going to read that again. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he careth for you. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Let's break this down for a second. There's just a couple of things that's in this scripture. Humble yourselves. We need to understand that, first of all, we don't ask God to humble us. We humble ourselves, right? We lower ourselves. It's God. I remember the older saints used to say all the time, you don't want God to humble you, because if God humbles you, you know, there's no telling where he would be. So you don't want God to humble you. You want to humble yourself. It's kind of like your parents. You don't want your parents to. It's better to humble yourself than it is. It's better to discipline yourself than it is for your parents or somebody else to discipline you. For a couple of reasons, mainly because you learn self-control, how to retain yourself, right? And so it's the same as with God. It shouldn't take the hand of God for us to be humble. And then also, the second thing I see in the scripture is that it says to cast all your anxiety upon him, cast all of your worries, your cares, the things that may have you, you know, kind of in a different place or messed up or whatever. Cast all that, all your cares, all your problems, all your worries, cast them upon God, because he cares for you, right? And he'll take care of those things for you. And then the last thing is to be sober and be watchful. Now, we know what it's like when a person is drunk, right? When a person is drunk, they're not sober, and they're unable to handle things in an appropriate way because they're not themselves, they're not aware, they're not alert. So in this case, in this scripture, it's saying to be sober, be alert, be watchful, be careful, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. All right. So this whole chapter is a commandment to the men as leaders. It's a commandment to our leaders. And I'm going to focus specifically on our men because our men are very, very important. And I believe many of us on the line on this side of my voice, I believe we agree with that, that men are a very important part of our society, where men are important in our churches, men are important in our homes, they are important in general. First of all, let's dismantle a few ideas about the enemy, okay? Let's dismantle a couple of ideas. The first idea we need to dismantle is that the enemy does have power, okay? The enemy does have power. He does, okay? Second thing we need to dismantle and get rid of is that we do not have the authority to bind him. We do not have the authority to bind the devil, okay? Let me make myself perfectly clear. Jesus gave the apostles the authority to bind and loose, speaking and acting under God's authority, not under their own. And they, as the foundational representatives for the church, they did not act arbitrarily, nor did they operate apart from the Holy Spirit. And you can reference that from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, and Acts 4, verse 28 through 33. Some misapply that teaching to include binding Satan. There is no scriptural command to bind Satan, nor is there any biblical example of the practice. Satan remains at large as the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2 and 2, until he is chained or bound by an angel, not a human being, during the millennial reign of Christ, which is in Revelations 20 and 1 through 3. Now, the disciples cast out demons, but they never bound them or Satan. Okay? So let's just be clear about that. Now, so God gives us power. We do have the power to cast out demons, but it's only through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Please, 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 ma'am, please, sir, please don't try to cast out a demon on your own. Please don't try to cast out the, you know, devils under your own authority, or because you just feel like it, or you feel like you're sick of the devil or whatever, you're sick of a demon. Please do that under the leading of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, and please make sure that you are clear and that you are clean, and that your life is that you're protected by the Holy Spirit before you try to cast out a demon or the devil. If not, the enemy will whoop you. That demon will come back and whoop on you. We also have the power to, okay, so first we have the power to cast out demons, and we also have the power to resist the devil, okay? We have the power to resist him. We, the men, are the leaders. We are the priests, okay? We are to preach, protect, and provide. And when I say preach, I'm not necessarily talking about holding a mic and standing up on the stage. I'm talking about giving instruction and laying down the law, right? And then we are to protect, speaking of through prayer, and then making wise decisions for our families and for our children and for those we are in charge of. And then we are to provide, you know, we are to work. The Bible says the man don't work, he don't eat. Whether we work for a company or we own our own businesses, we are to come up with strategies to see to it our families have what they need. And I think a lot of confusion is going on within our homes and our churches because there are so many challenges with our men. I believe that a lot of what is happening in society is because our men are being broken, our men are being disconnected, and our men are being removed. So our men are being broken, meaning many things are breaking down the strength and the authority of our men. But let's remember that the men are the leaders, the head of the household, and the church. Our men are being disconnected from God and our families. And so how are our men being disconnected? Well, they're being disconnected from faith. While many of us have busy lives and busy schedules, if you're constantly coming up with excuses
for why you're no longer committed to being in active communication with God. You're probably being fed lies by the enemy. The enemy is a saboteur, one who deliberately destroys and obstructs. He will actively attempt to get you off course with God by telling you it's okay to deviate from God, sometimes in subtle ways. Okay, so brothers, be aware of this. This could be the voice telling you there's no need to pray or stay in touch with God because he should know where your heart is. I was tricked by that way before. I had to get back on track. This could also be the voice telling you that there can't be a God because if there was, you wouldn't be dealing with the situation you're in. Okay, so he wants to disconnect us through faith and then by depression. So by definition, depression is having feelings of severe despondency and dejection. It causes feelings of sadness and loss of interest and can be a major clinical issue. When we're going through a period of depression, the enemy is whispering lies to create self-doubt and sabotage us. These feelings are not in line with what God wants for us. We are told this in Proverbs 16 and 20, "He that handles a matter wisely shall find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he." James 4 and 7 is a great verse that reminds us to submit ourselves to God. If we focus on the positive and not our discouragement, the enemy has no place. If we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Remember what I said earlier. And also, it's important to note that, yes, the enemy wants to depress us, because did you not know, and I think I shared this before, that men account for a huge percentage of suicides in our society. So it's important that we avoid depression. So men, we're being disconnected from through our faith, through depression, by way of depression, by addiction. When it comes to addiction, 1 Peter 5 and 8 tells us, like I read earlier, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Addiction can manifest in many ways, including drugs, alcohol, pornography, food, yes, food, work. Sometimes we can work too much, we can eat too much, even the home shopping networks, we can shop too much. All destructive tools to control you. The enemy gets control by creating a need and getting you to fulfill it outside of God so that you feel complete emptiness and dependency on your addiction, right? So the enemy wants to get us disconnected by way of our faith, by way of depression, addiction, and also through abusive relationships. You may think that in an abusive relationship, you are simply targeted by your partner, but abusive relationships are major indicators of the enemy's presence. He is choosing you as his victim because he wants you beaten down in body and spirit. And this is not in line with what God wants for you. The Bible actually forbids physical or verbal abuse in marriages, which can also be applied to relationships outside of marriage. Colossians 3 and 19 saying, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." Abuse is not a reflection of God's love, just an attempt by the enemy to break you and your relationship down. And let me also share this. Did you not know that it is the enemy's tactic to allow relationships to mentally break us down to the point where we can't focus? So women, it is absolutely essential to know that when your man leaves the home and you all have just been in an argument, that he's off focus and that he can't really focus on what he needs to focus on. And I'm not saying it's your fault, but it's important that men and women both, we be responsible for making sure that, I don't care where we are in our arguments or our disagreements, that we hem that up before we depart from each other. Because if we part from each other and we're in a discombobulated state of mind, that it's hard to function and it's hard to, it makes it challenging in your faithfulness to your partner. I'm not saying it gives you a reason to go out and cheat, because nothing does. Nothing gives you a reason to go out and be unfaithful to your partner. But it does make it challenging when you're off and you're not connected. So, you know, it's important that we keep our relationships intact by way of making sure that when we leave the house, whether we agree or disagree, that we are intact in our relationships, if I'm making that completely clear. Let me move on because my time is running out. Another way the enemy wants to keep us disconnected, brothers, is through telling lies. God frowns when we lie. Lying is actually on the list of the seven things that are detestable to the Lord, along with a false witness who pours out lies, Proverbs 6 and 16 through 19. The irony of a lie is that the enemy, who is the father of lies, is whispering lies to us to sabotage our lives and the lives of others. We may not think of the initial impact of our lies when we tell them, but it stirs up conflict and causes us to live lives outside of God's vision for us. Okay? So keep those things in mind as you remember that the enemy wants to keep us broken, disconnected, and he wants to keep us removed. Many people are saying that now a man is irrelevant and that many things can be done without him. Now, I don't know the full background of this story, but I read it somewhere before, and I need to find it probably. But did you not know that and you all can help me with this. Maybe we can include this in the discussion later. But most of us know, based on our history of African Americans and slavery, that one of the tactics of breaking down the family structure in the slave times was to remove the man from the family structure, was to remove the man from the household, remove the man first, take him out, take him far away, put him on a ship, take him somewhere, or take them to another house to work for someone else. Divide the household, rape the women, do all this stuff, break the family life down. And that tactic is still being used today. Notice how many households are being broken down, and then it's being encouraged that women go after child support. Now, I'm not saying that child support is of the devil. I am saying that the child support is it's important that children be supported, yes. But it doesn't have to take the government to support our children. Anytime it takes us welcoming the government into our family structure to make the man or the woman support the kids, we're off structure, we're out of line. Now, you all, you know, people say whatever they want to say, but it never was God's plan that the government control and direct and guide our houses. That's our man. That's the man's job as the priest of the household. It's tight, but it's right. And so coming to the close, I think it's important that we look at how we can begin to restore our homes, restore our family structures, restore our men. The promises in verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 5 tell us that God will do four things for us as we go through times of suffering, as we go through these things where the enemy is trying to get us. The first thing Peter says is that he will restore us, all right? He will restore us. Literally, the Greek word means to repair or mend a net, or to set a broken bone. Peter was a fisherman, so he'd think of sewing or repairing the holes in his fisherman's net. Suffering will add to our character. It will repair flaws in our character, making us more like Jesus. Suffering will add a needed dimension to our life. Okay? That's the first thing. God will restore us. Second thing is, Peter says, is that God will establish us. Literally, the word means to be as firm as granite or steel. So we're being hardened and solidified and toughened through suffering like fired and tempered steel. Okay. The third phrase Peter uses is that God will strengthen us. Literally, we will be filled with bodily strength. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And then fourthly, finally, Peter says God will settle us. He uses an architectural term in Greek. It means to lay a foundation for a building. Suffering will drive us to the bedrock of our faith, to our foundation, which is Jesus himself. In suffering, we figure out what's superficial in life, what's unnecessary. We're stripped of all the excess baggage and driven to the one thing that we can really rebuild our lives on, Jesus Christ himself. I just want to admonish and encourage all of our brothers to let you know that I know that we are experiencing some things where the enemy is after us. He wants to take us out. He wants to keep us removed. He wants us to be broken. He wants us to be disconnected. But it is God's will that we stand up, that we be encouraged, that we lift up our hung down head, brothers, and that we know that there are some women who have our backs. There are some women who are praying for us. And I know for a fact that there's some women on this line that pray for us daily, that have our backs daily. And I don't want to get to calling names, but if I was to call names, you know, you already know some of them who actively on the call and off the call are continually praying for our strength and praying for our support and praying that we grow strong, and they have our back and they're behind us 110%. And so I thank God for those women, and I thank God for those of us, our brothers, who help to encourage us together as brothers. Let's continue in that. Let brotherly love continue. So that we can stand up and be the men in our society, in our churches, and in our homes. God bless you as I pass the call.
Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for waking us up. We thank you, Lord God, for just another opportunity to come before you boldly, Lord God, in spirit and in truth, Lord God, that we come before you, Lord God, thanking you and praising you, Lord God, for, just so many wonderful things, Lord God, that you are to us, Lord God. Thank you for being our rock. Thank you for being our salvation. Thank you for being our everything, Lord God. And I just praise you, God, for another opportunity, oh God. God, I thank you for Marcus's very well thought out, spirit-filled declaration, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for that, Lord God, and that it would not only apply, that we'd apply it to our lives, Father, but it would take root, Lord God, in our thought processes, Lord God. And as we think about, as days go by and as we meditate, Lord God, that it connects with our spirit, Lord God, and that it would hang in there, Lord God, and that it would marinate in our spirit, Lord God, to be used for your glory, to help us clear out, Lord God. And I thank you, Father. As we go in our computers and clear out cookies and mess and things that are extra things that are not like that, Lord, I pray that the word that goes forth, the declarations that go forth, that they fill those empty places and those empty spaces, Lord God, in our minds and in our psyches, Lord, and in our spirits, Lord God, that it would help build us up as men, Lord God, that it would help build us up and clear us out, Lord God. So we ask now that you would blow a fresh breath of your Holy Spirit in our minds and in our spirit, Lord God. Take out those things that are not of you, Lord God. Take out those things and those memories, Lord God. Heal those things that need to be healed, oh God, but most of all, refresh and renew and then reset up and revive us, Lord God, in our spirits as men, Lord God, that we would be revived, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that even Marcus said that we have women, we have other victors that are inside of us, that are in our corners, that are our cheerleaders, Lord God, that are pushing us and priming us and helping us, Lord God, to see that there's a lion inside of us and there's a leader inside of us, Lord God. And thank you, Lord God, because once we're empowered, Lord God, once we are refreshed and renewed, touched, healed, and delivered, Lord God, then we can help another brother, Lord God. I say all the time, hurt people, but the healed people help heal other brothers, Lord God. That healed people will heal people, Lord God. So I pray for total healing. I pray for total restoration in every brother's life, Lord God. I pray in everyone, in every victor's life, Lord God. But especially, Lord God, for our brothers today being Friday, Lord God, that we would take hold of that, Lord God, and we would forget it, that we would let some of our memories go, we would let some of our stuff go, Lord God, and allow you to step in and do exactly what no other power, no other physician can do, because I know that you specialize in things that are impossible, Lord God. So, God, we ask now that you would go in our lives, Lord God, and help correct some things that are wrong, Lord God, and continue to bless and renew. Do surgery like you can, Lord God, in those areas that we can't see, those small hairline areas that we don't even know exist, Lord God, for your glory, Lord God, to make us better. We want to be better. We ask that we remain better, Lord God, and that we would seek to be better daily, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for every prayer request, Lord God, on the call, Lord God. I didn't hear every request, Lord God, but you know, Lord God. Honor them, Father God. Move by your power and by your spirit like only you can, Father, and touch, heal, and deliver. Go in, Lord God, and do what you do best, Lord God. Thank you. And also, God, I pray now that we allow you to be God in every area, that we surrender every area, that one corner that we don't want to just let go, Lord God, that we would let it go for your glory, that you'd put a yes in our mouths, oh God, that we would continue to say yes, Lord God, because every place, every space in our bodies, our minds, our spirits, Lord God, we want you to be Lord of Lord and King of Kings and reign in every area, Lord God. Those areas that we just don't even want to give up, that we go kicking and screaming, Lord God, that we surrender in every area, Lord God, so that you can fix us and make us better, Lord God. And then once we're better, we can help another brother, another sister, another victor, Lord God. We're better for our families. We're better for our jobs. We're better for our children, Lord God. So we thank you, Master. God, continue to set us on fire, Lord God, for you, Lord God. Continue to help us and allow us to witness for your glory, Lord God, and help with another brother, help with another child, help with another mentor, mentee, Lord God. God, we need your help, Lord God. So we thank you, God. God, we ask now that you will continue to bless and keep as we move on in prayer, Lord God, and keep us on our knees, oh God. Allow us to build a wonderful relationship with you through prayer, in prayer, Lord God, because we know it's all about you and our communication with you, God. So I ask that you would even now in my life, Lord God, open up my life, Lord God, to you even the more, Lord God, so that I can be a better vessel and I can be better used even by you, Lord. And this is not only my prayer for myself, Lord God, but for others, oh God. We thank you. Bless Pastor Jamilio McClain, Lord God, in the Rising Star Church. Bless Pastor Reginald Finley as he's being installed, Lord God, in the True Life Church, Lord God. God, I'm in Long Beach with Jack and Jill, which is a youth organization, Lord God. Bless all the hundreds of young people of the West Coast region, Lord God, that they would receive what they need to receive while we're here, Lord God. And that you will continue to open up their minds and bless them indeed, Lord God, and give a safe trip and everyone safe passage back and forth, Lord God. God, we pray this for your glory. In Jesus' name is our pastor call.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for all that you're doing, Lord God. I ask that you bless and cover each person on this line, Lord God. Watch over them and keep them safe, keep their families safe, Lord God. I ask that you give peace and peace around each person, Lord God, that is going through, and each person that is on the line also, Lord God, because each person is under attack, Lord God, because we are coming before you, Lord God. But, Lord God, we want to be the people that you have called to love and to serve and to encourage and to lift up those that are around us, Lord God. So, Lord God, as we come before you, Lord God, I ask that you help each person, Lord God, to remain in peace, that you place a hedge of peace around them, Lord God, so that no matter what is going on, Lord God, they will stay at peace. Because, Lord God, recognize that in the midst of things, we're supposed to be at peace, because you say, in me there's peace, in the world there's tribulation. So no matter what is going on, Lord God, we're supposed to be in peace, because if we are in you, we're in peace, Lord God. So I ask you, Lord God, to help us to remain in you, Lord God, and not to step out, Lord God, when we see things or we feel things are not moving the way they should. Lord God, I thank you for today, Lord God. I thank you for what you're teaching us, Lord God. I thank you for opening the doors and helping people to understand your men more and better, Lord God. There's been so much that has been placed upon men that the world or the enemy has placed in the world to see as we're supposed to be a man or how a man is supposed to be. And a lot of it is a lie, Lord God. There are things that we are supposed to do that we haven't been doing because we've been following what we've been shown and taught, Lord God, as opposed to seeking you and asking you what is your will and what is your way, Lord God. So, Lord God, for each man that is in each family, Lord God, I ask that you help them to get a relationship with you, Lord God, that they stop trying to follow what the world says and follow what you say and follow what your teaching says, Lord God, because recognizing that Jesus was a man and he was the Word in flesh, Lord God, but he also taught us that we are to have emotions, that we're to love, Lord God, that we're to be at peace, Lord God, that we're to help people and we're to encourage and to bond. Lord God, I thank you for today because it is a day that you have made, Lord God, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And rejoicing in, Lord, for me, Lord God, that we are rejoicing in that you love us so and that you gave your only begotten, Lord God, and that you want us to know who you are and you want us to walk as your son did, as Christ did, Lord God. So we're asking you, Lord God, to help us to walk in those ways, Lord God. Help us to be who you have called for us to be, Lord God. Help us to reach those that are around us. Help us to reach the unsaved in our family, Lord God. Help us to be able to speak a word, Lord God, to help them to understand and help them to see the relationship that we have with you and make them have that same desire or give them that same desire to want to have that relationship with you, Lord God. Let our relationship with you and our walk with you be so encouraging, Lord God, that people around us go, I want to be like that. I want to have that relationship. I want to know who God really is. Because, Lord God, as we are learning, as we are receiving the word that you're giving us, as we are receiving the declaration, Lord God, you're helping us to learn and to walk and to seek you and to recognize that we have a relationship. We can have a relationship that where you're talking to us and walking with us all the time, Lord God. You're always with us, Lord God, because you say you will never leave us nor forsake us. But, Lord God, sometimes we forget when we're going through. Sometimes we forget when we're struggling. Sometimes we forget when depression tries to come in, Lord God. So help us to stay in your peace, Lord God. Help us to stay within you. Lord God, I ask you also, Lord God, that you help us to reach those that are in our jobs, Lord God, because sometimes people in the jobs tend to think the job is the thing, is the most important thing, Lord God, and they're not recognizing that this job is only, we're supposed to do our best in the job, Lord God, and we're supposed to do it unto your glory. But sometimes people allow the job to become their God, Lord God, and they start treating people the way the job wants them, and that's not the way you call for us to do, Lord God. You call for us to follow you and serve you and glorify you in everything that we do, even in our jobs, even in our positions, Lord God. It's not about the position, but it's about glorifying you. And we're to treat people as we want to be treated. We're supposed to treat them the way you call for us to treat them, not the way the job says to treat them. So, Lord God, help us to reach those that are in employers and those that are around us in our job in the workplace, Lord God, so that they would recognize that you are alive and that you are alive in us and that you are walking with us, Lord God. Help us to be able to speak a word to them that they will understand that it's about God. It's not about them. Lord God, also I ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord God, to help us to be able to reach our neighbors, Lord God. Our neighbors sometimes don't understand us, Lord God, and they look at us because you said we are a peculiar people, Lord God. But that peculiarness means that we're just set apart from the world, Lord God. We're set to glorify you, to serve you, to please you, and that we desire to love as you have called for us to love, and we desire to help and not be a hindrance, not be a stumbling block, Lord God. So help us to be able to speak to our neighbors, Lord God, and our neighbors to see the walk as we are walking in your way, Lord God, walking in your light, Lord God, serving you. Help them to recognize that we are yours and that if they have an issue with us, Lord God, that they need to come to you and that they need to be at peace, Lord God, instead of trying to have any issues with us, Lord God, with some neighbors. Are at peace with us, and some neighbors are not, Lord God. So we ask that you get peace in our neighborhood, peace around our families and our homes, Lord God. Lord God, also ask that you bless those that are in the armed forces, Lord God, to have peace, Lord God, to let them be not worried about the things that are going on around them, Lord God, but to know that you have them, in your hands and that you're watching over them and that you are never slumber nor sleep, but you're there with them at all times. Because you said you would never leave us nor forsake us, Lord God. So help them to know that you're with them, Lord God, because they're going to see some things and they're going to have to deal with some things, Lord God, that I'm sure it's very hard, Lord God, and it's a very struggling time, Lord God. But help them to be at peace, Lord God, to know that you are there and to keep their eyes on you and not on what's going on, because we can get lost in what we see, Lord God, if we don't know you and we don't have a relationship with you. So help them to build a relationship with you, Lord God, and be at peace with you. And Lord God, for our enemies, Lord God, those that feel they must come against us as we are not a part of their group or a part of their clique or a part of what they think we should be, Lord God, help us to walk in love and to show them love no matter what it is, Lord God, no matter how bad it is, no matter what they are saying, Lord God, but help us to walk in love, help us to walk in peace. Help us to keep you before our eyes and not what they're doing, what they're saying, and how they're treating us, Lord God. Lord God, you said we're to love our enemies, and you said we're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, Lord God. So help us to learn how to love ourselves in you, and help us to learn how to love them and walk in love and keep love as a tool to break the bonds and break the barriers that are being placed, trying to be placed around us by them, Lord God. Help us to keep it, our walk and our trust in you, and keep us in peace, Lord God, no matter what is going on, what is said. And I give you all the praise, Lord God, because you are a loving God, and I can't see you wanting to go anywhere else but to you, Lord God. So I thank you for being so loving. I thank you for being here for us. I thank you for giving your son and giving us your word. I thank you for all that you're doing for us, Lord God. Thank you for this prayer line. Thank you for the people on this prayer line. Thank you, Lord God, because you love us so much that you're with us always. And so I give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And I pass the call.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for waking us up this morning, Lord God, in our right minds, Lord God, and with our hearts and our spiritual eyes looking unto you this morning, Lord God. Lord God, we just want to praise you this morning. Hallelujah. We just want to acknowledge you this morning. Hallelujah. We just want to lift up the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for that declaration this morning, Lord God. Speaking to men, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for the position, Lord God, that you have given to us, Lord God, and the commandment, Lord God, of headship, Lord God, and leadership, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you for every man connected to this prayer line, Lord God, and I lift them up to you this morning, Lord God, and I pray your protection and your covering, Lord God, over them, Lord God. Over them and their families, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that you fill us, Lord God, with a fresh anointing, Lord God, of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that will empower us, Lord God, to lead and to be the headship, Lord God, that you have called us for. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. For that responsibility, Lord God, we say thank you, Lord God. Lord God, I lift up the entire Declare Victory prayer line to you this morning. Hallelujah. I pray your protection, Lord God, over every believer, Lord God, and their household, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, for a fresh anointing, Lord God, over every man, woman, and child, Lord God, connected to this prayer line, Lord God. Empower us, Lord God, with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. For that, Lord God, I say thank you, Lord God. This morning, Lord God, I also lift up every prayer request, Lord God, every spoken prayer request, every online prayer request to you this morning, Lord God. You have heard the prayer request, Lord God. And I ask, Lord God, that you grant us the prayer request, Lord God. Lord, thank you, Lord God. Thank you for who you are, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you that we learn, Lord God, that we can be intentional, Lord God, with our lives today. So we intentionally, Lord God, woke up this morning, 6 a.m., Lord God, to seek your face and your guidance. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the declaration, Lord God, on men. Oh, thank you, Lord God. I've heard on this line, Lord God, how women pray for their husbands, Lord God, and they recognize, Lord God, that the adversary, the enemy, Lord God, were after their husband.
They thought that they were the most important one in the household, and they came to a realization, Lord God, that the enemy was after the head of the house, Lord God. So, Lord God, I say thank you, Lord God, that we are being covered, Lord. But hallelujah, by our wives, Lord God. Yes, Lord, I lift up every wife to you this morning, Lord God. Cover them, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you for their strength, Lord God. Thank you for their tenacity, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for their willingness, Lord God, to pray for their husband, their sons, Lord God, to pray for men, Lord God. So I lift the wives up to you as well this morning, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Your love, Lord God. Your love, Lord God. It is you, Lord God, that first loved us, Lord God. Lord God, we just want to reciprocate, Lord God, and love you back, Lord. Lord, Jesus told us that if we loved him, we will keep his commandments, Lord God. Lord God, we just want to keep your commandments, Lord. We love you, Lord God, and we confess, hallelujah, we declare, we decree, Lord God, that we will keep your commandments, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Lord God, before I pass the call this morning, I want to lift up this nation to you. Hallelujah. The United States of America, Lord God. I want to say thank you, Lord God, for covering this great nation, Lord God. And I want to pray, Lord God, that you give the men and women of this nation, Lord God, a heart of repentance, Lord God. You said in your word, Lord God, if my people will repent, oh, thank you, Lord God, and turn from their wicked ways. So, Lord God, I pray for this nation, Lord God. In God, we trust we have on our dollar bill, and we place so much value on money. Help us, Lord God. Help this nation to turn back. Help us to truly, really, honestly trust in you, Lord God. Cover this nation, Lord God. Influence the minds, Lord God, of those that makes the decisions, Lord God, for this nation, Lord God. Lord God, I lift up every pastor to you, Lord God, that is connected to this prayer line, Lord God. Every pastor on the list, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, I pray your protection, Lord God, over every pastor that we have written on the list, Lord God. Bless them, Lord God. Bless their families, Lord God. Cover them, Lord God. Lord God, I have a special request, Lord God, that you cover our youth pastors, Lord God. Touch our youth pastors, Lord. Pour back into them, Lord God, what they pour out into our children, Lord God. I pray for a special anointing and covering of our youth pastors. And every coach, every mentor, every after-school program director, Lord God, every person, Lord God, that work and influence our children, I pray for a special anointing and covering over them, Lord God. So, Lord God, as I prepare to pass the call this morning, I just want to say thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For my wife, Lord God. For my household, Lord God. For the health and strength of my children, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing me, Lord God, with the mind of Christ, Lord God, that I may stand on your holy word, Lord God, that I won't waver, Lord God, that I won't quit, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray as I pass the call.
Bless your name, God. God, we just continue in that vein and say thank you, Lord, for this day and another opportunity to tell you, God, you are great and greatly to be praised. God, I come as a sister, as a mother, God, as a daughter of Zion, Lord God, as a warrior, God, as an intercessor. And God, I pray for every man under the sound of my voice. God, I thank you for their hearts, God. I thank you for their vision, Lord God. I thank you that their steps are ordered, for your word declares that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by you. God, and I pray that the word that was shared this morning began to take root in our hearts, Lord God, and that our compassion and our demonstration of love, our acceptance and our patience, God, our relentlessness and our unwillingness to quit and to give up on our sons, our brothers, our fathers, our husbands, our friends even, God. And I pray that you give us as women the wisdom to stand in the gap. God, I thank you that every prayer and petition this morning not only was heard, God, but that you're doing a great work in us to rebuild the nations. God, to reestablish faith and understanding, God, to institute order and structure in our homes, in our churches, in our communities, Lord God, in our government, Lord God. And I pray that you give us the wherewithal to stand, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. God, I pray for every woman under the leadership of these men, those men that are on our prayer list, Lord God, the women that are have been travelers and passers-by, God, that you would give us a mind in raising our sons. Lord God, to create an institute, to establish and intentionally promote relationships with men so that our sons will be whole. God, I pray that the institution of marriage be covered and kept, God, and that wives would submit to their husbands as they submit unto Christ. And God, that the wife that's saved and the husband may not be, Lord God, for you said that the prayers of the sanctified wife sanctify the husband. And so we just ask, oh God, that you would teach us what you would have us to do in this season, God, as change is on the horizon, God, and our nations are in uproar, God, and as calamity appears to be happening all around us, and if the enemy had his way, God, we'd be full of fear and trepidation. But we thank you, God, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so this morning, God, as we prepare to close out this portion of the call, God, we call you sovereign. We call you great. We call you mighty. We call you Alpha and Omega. We call you the beginning and the end. God, we declare and decree that you are our righteousness, and we do have the mind of Christ, and we are joint heirs with you, that we are your righteousness, oh God. We declare and we decree that we can do what you said that we can do, God, that we can be who you called us to be, God. And I pray this morning that each of us meet you empty, oh God, because of your sovereignty. Because you are Alpha and Omega, because you are the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and because we don't have to fear any evil, because you said, yea, I will be with you always, even until the ends of the earth. God, I thank you in advance, Lord God, for opening doors that should be open, God, and closing and sealing doors that should be closed. And so, God, as we begin to take our phones off mute, we celebrate you, and we say thank you, God. Thank you for your sovereignty, God. Thank you for ordering our steps. God, thank you for giving us a mind to serve you. God, we open our mouths and we call you Majesty this morning. God, we call you Abba Father, God. We thank you for today's provision, God. We break the chains off of every mind on this call. We cut back the flesh, oh God. We unplug our ears so that we can hear divinely direction, oh God, and how to move and proceed. God, we thank you that you're unscaling our eyes, Lord God. God, I lift up our sons and our daughters, and I thank you in advance, God, that we'll set
a solid example for what it looks like to serve and to reverence you, God. We thank you even for our children that are behind bars and away in military prep, Lord God. We thank you, oh God, for our children that are on summer break, that you would keep them. Protect them, oh God, for those children who don't have enough to eat, oh God. God, that you would be their provision, oh God. God, we thank you for divine direction for this day, oh God. For our homes, Lord God. For our communities, Lord God. In our government, God, this day be our sovereign, God. In the name of Jesus. God, for that wayward child, oh God. For that child that's lost and confused, God, be strength, be hope, be life, and be restoration, God. God, we pray for every pastor in the name of Jesus, God, that you would lift them up, God. I pray for their wives this morning, that you would continue to cover and keep them in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for balance in all of our lives. Lord God, that we'd have divine direction, that we'd have a great understanding, God. You said, let he who lacks wisdom ask, and it shall freely be given unto him. God, give us a mind to ask, to seek, and to knock. God, give us a mind not only to ask, seek, and knock, but to wait on your answer, Lord God. For you said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God, give us a mind to run for you today. Give us a heart to chase after you. God, you said, they that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled, God. You said, be ye holy, for I am holy. God, I pray for every single person on the line today. God, that you would continue to keep and cover in the name of Jesus. God, that you'd give us staying power, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, that you would continue to keep us conscious, Lord God. We thank you for conviction this morning, Lord God. Anyone that's out of fellowship with you, Lord God, I thank you for repentance this morning, God, and restoration thereafter, oh God. I thank you that there is therefore now no condemnation in those that love you, God. I thank you, God, that we are not beat down and browbeat, Lord God, but that we can stand on the promises that are yes and amen, oh God. I thank you for the newness of life that is in Christ Jesus. God, I thank you for the rebirth and the rededication, Lord God. I thank you for the new wine, oh God, and the new wineskin. I thank you, oh God, that you've already opened doors, Lord God, for where we are to enter into, Lord God. I thank you that we'll have the courage, oh God, the courage of Joshua. God, the courage of David, God. I thank you, oh God, that we'll fear not their faces, God, but that we'll believe you for all things, Lord God. We thank you for destiny this morning. God, we thank you for not settling, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for patience this morning. We thank you for temperance, oh God. We thank you for bringing anything that exalts itself into captivity, oh God. God, we cast down every false imagination in the name of Jesus. God, we come against every spirit of flesh on this morning. Any argumentative spirit, any frustrated spirit, any spirit of suicide, unworthlessness, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that you are opening up our hearts and our understanding, oh God, that you are strengthening our stakes and lengthening our cords, oh God, for soon we'll be bursting on the left and on the right, oh God. God, give us capacity this morning in the name of Jesus. God, stretch us and make us over again, God. God, give us vision and insight, God. God, help us to see the distance, oh God. Help us to be anxious for nothing but all things, prayer and supplication, oh God. God, we bless you, oh God, for the weight in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that we have bread for today. God, we thank you that we have provision for today, God. Thank you, oh God, that you've given us grace for today in the name of Jesus. God, and we declare and decree, oh God, that we'll stand on your principles. God, that we'll institute your laws, oh God, that we'll walk in faith and victory, oh God. God, help us not to be confused or conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, God. Help us to unlearn some things. God, help us to renew our mind daily in the name of Jesus. Help us to speak well of things. Help us not to dwell in the past, God. Help us not to be concerned with the things of old, God, but to move forward into the newness of your grace and your mercy for today, God. God, we move in, God. God, and we declare and decree that we will not be defeated, God. We will not be taken over, God, by the things of this world, God, but that we'll focus and fix on the prize which is in Christ Jesus, God. We thank you this morning, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We thank you, God.
We thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
God, we thank you that our children will break every generational curse that our families suffer, God. We thank you, Lord God, that they won't be bound to the things of their ancestors, oh God. God, but they'll walk in freedom in you, oh God. God, we thank you in advance, oh God. We thank you in advance, God, for future generations that'll be kingdom builders and leaders and scholars and doctors and great inventors, God. We thank you, God, in advance, oh God, that we won't be hypocritical, God, but that our lives will be full of integrity and character, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that we take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow will take care of itself, God. We thank you for divine provision, God. We thank you that you are more than enough, God. God, I thank you that I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg bread, God. I thank you, God. I lift up Trina today, God. Yes. You know all about her, God. In the name of Jesus, you know all about her, God. God, open doors, God. God, free minds, God. In the name of Jesus. God, do it like never before, God. In the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord. God, I pray for our enemies today, God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, for every tongue that rises up against us, oh God, for every mouth that murmurs that we fail, oh God, that we fall, oh God, bless them and bless them indeed, in the name of Jesus, cover them and keep them, oh God, God, deliver them and move them into greatness, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we celebrate them today, God, God, and we call them blessed and highly favored, in the name of Jesus, God, continue to move in and through their lives, God. Let your grace and your mercy abound in their lives, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for the mind of Christ.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Oh God, we bless your name this morning.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord God.
God, we bless your name. We pray for our loved ones, God, and our parents, God. In the name of Jesus, surrogate or natural, God, we ask that you bless them and give them long life, God. God, I thank you this morning that you know the thoughts that you have for us, plans to prosper us and give us an expected end. God, don't let us be annoyed or frustrated with the sounds of the enemy's voice, oh God, but keep our eyes focused and fixed and stayed on you. God, for we know that all things work together. Hallelujah. For the good of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. God, we believe that all things work together, God. For the good of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. God, I bless you this morning that all things, all things, not some of the things, God, not half of the things, God, but all things work together for the good of them that love him. God, help us to remember and to retain and to rest in the fact that all things work together for the good of them that love him. God, I thank you this morning
that all things, God.
Hallelujah, Jesus. The things seen and unseen, all things work together for the good of them that love him. Hallelujah. Yes. All things, God. Everything, God. Anything we could ever think, hope for, or imagine, God. All things work together for the good. God, we bless you for the all things season in our lives, God. Thank you for the recognition of the things that we didn't understand were working for us, God, that you've worked them out for our good. I bless your name this morning. God, you're worthy, God. We pray, God, that you would help us to understand that if you be for us, what is the entire world against us? God, thank you this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
All things, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All things work together for our good. Hallelujah, God. all things. God, fill our mouths with pleasantries, God. Let our scent be a sweet-smelling savor to you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
God, anything that doesn't resemble you, pull it off.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, help us to put on humility, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Help us to put on righteousness, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Help us to put on kindness and love, God.
Yes,
help us to put on temperance and patience, God. God, that you would get the glory out of our lives.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That you would get the glory out of our lives. Help us not to lean to our own understanding. But in all of our ways, acknowledge you, God, that you can give us direction. God, we want to be directed. Like the sheep, Lord God, the shepherd guides and directs and leads. God, lead us on the path of righteousness, God, for your name's sake. God, not for what the end result is, God, but that you would get the glory out of our lives.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
God, this morning I thank you for Marcus's share.
Hallelujah.
And I thank you for the seeds that he's planted for the last several weeks, God. I thank you. Water them, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Nurture them and grow them up in us, God, and help us to embrace the truth from a man's heart.
Yes, Lord.
Help us not to take it lightly as women. God, help us to know what it looks like to bow down in reverence of who you called man to be, that you've given him dominion in this earth. God, restore order and let it begin with us. Let it begin with us, God. Let it begin with us that our sons would no longer be lost and bastards in the eyes of society, God, but that we would teach them what it looks like to be reverent and respectful, God. God, give us a mind to submit our will as unto you, that you would get the glory out of our lives, God, for we know that when we're in your will, all things are possible. But in our own strength, in our own will, in our own mind, God, we fail miserably without you. God, even though we understand all things work together for the good, God, all things are lawful but not expedient. God, give us wisdom and discernment. Help us to know when to be quiet. Help us to know when to hold a comment. Help us not to beat them up and belittle them. Help us to build our house, God, even if it's not our own. But when we build our sister's house, God, we build a nation. Help us not to be so shallow in our thinking. Help us to honor and respect and have reverence for marriage.
Yes, oh God.
Help our women not to be so simple and thirsty.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Order, God, order, 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 God, order, 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 order.
Thank
order,
you.
Order. Thank you for order this morning, God.
Thank you for order.
Order. God, I thank you. And I didn't mean to holler at you this morning. I just love you, and I know what you're able to do. And so, God, because we know what you're able to do, we cry out with humble, transparent, just about clear hearts. God, where we're broken, mend us, please.
Yes.
The fractures, fill it with your love. God, we love you. We'll be so careful to give your name the glory, the honor, and all the praise. It's in the matchless name of Jesus, we ask the Father, I declare and decree, amen, as I pass the call.
Amen and amen. Well, as we prepare to go into the love, life, and victory portion of the call, are there any new callers that might have joined the call and would like to say good morning? Are there any victors that joined the call that would like to say good morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pretty Patrice.
Good morning, Susan.
And who else is that?
Good morning, it's Gwen.
Good morning, Gwen.
Good morning, it's Erica.
Good morning, Erica.
Good morning, it's Eric.
Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, it's Dee Dee.
Good morning, Dee Dee.
Hey, good morning, this is Tim.
Good morning, Tim.
Hey, Brother Tim.
Hey, good morning,
Juliet.
Thanks for stepping in, Dee.
Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Susie.
Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Tanya. April, are you on the call? I was trying to reach you yesterday to get you connected with Sabrina if you are on the call. The number that I have didn't work. Okay, thank you. And good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Tanya.
Okay.
Anyone
else?
Good morning,
Sinai Jay.
Good morning, Sinai Jay.
Good morning, it's Asaya.
Good morning, Asaya.
Good morning, Asaya.
Good morning. Yes, Anthony.
Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, it's Naja.
Good morning, Naja.
Good morning, it's Berger.
Good morning, Berger.
Good morning, it's Bridget. I want to thank you guys for your prayers. My baby made it home to my mother.
Good morning, Bridget.
She was so proud of you guys' prayers. She said, tell you guys, thank you. She said, Mom is bringing tears to my eyes. Oh, yeah, they praying for you. You got there.
I just want to say thank you for that prayer this morning. I'm able to get up and walk this morning, Lord.
Hallelujah, Sister Julia.
I'm walking all over the house this morning.
Praise God. Good to hear that.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But get you
hey,
some
good
rest.
Good morning,
Cedric.
Thank
you. Good morning, Cedric. Anyone else?
Good morning, this is Pastor Lavelle Jones.
Good morning, Pastor Lavelle. Glad to, nice to hear you.
Hey, brother.
Pastor Lavelle.
So glad to hear you. Well, everyone, at this time then, I would like to pass the call to Marcus. But before I do, I just want to say I love you all, Dion. You are such an amazing, wonderful woman of God. Now I pass the call to Marcus. Love you all.
Love you too, Susie.
Thank you, Susie, for all you do. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Hostess.
Yeah, amen. Well, hello, everyone, again. Please excuse the background noise. I'm in transition. On my way, on the road, and I hope everyone was blessed by the declaration. If you didn't hear it, please go back and listen to it and let us know what you think and where your thoughts are in reference to it. So one of the things that keep I noticed when I share declarations, like, there's a certain thing that kind of stands out to me. And I do believe, and I'm glad that Dion brought it up in her time of prayer. For sure, you know, when we talk about men, we're not just talking about men as husbands or boyfriends. We're also talking about our nephews, our sons, our grandsons, just men in general, boys in general. But one thing that stands out to me about what I shared earlier was how one of the enemy's tactics is to divide men from women, to separate us, to keep us divided, to keep us arguing, to keep us separate from each other. So what are some ways that you all think that we can fill that, or we can get rid of that divide, help us to keep the unity, be it with our sons? Because sometimes we can, fall out with our sons,
you know, it happens. I know mothers that don't get along well with their sons, even fathers that don't get along well with their sons. And if we can keep our men divided from relationships and whatever the case may be, it keeps us from moving forward and being strong. So what are some ways that we can keep that divide from happening or fix those divisions? Anybody?
Brother Marcus?
Yes.
Good morning. Good morning. You know, doing this research on men and women in the past, in the realm of literature, lesbianism is being held up as the only viable source for beautiful, I don't want to offend nobody, African-American women. And before Tyler Perry came along with his movies, name me one positive male-female relationship in the original Women of Easter Place, The Color Purple, Waiting to Exhale, you know, all of those movies. There was not one. And you could write it down right now. I mean, write down five couples that you know that's been together over 20, 25 years and never been divorced, or they've been with that one person 20, 25 years. Because in society today, they say men are evasive, men are this, that keeps men and women separated. And I just think in order to get men and women together, I think nothing beats an understanding but a better understanding. I've learned something so deep in the last couple years. And those of you that know me know what I'm talking about. I think a man has got to be totally honest with a woman. First of all, he has to be totally honest. I mean about any and everything that he might think may ever come up about him or anything like that. He has to be totally honest, because if she's going to be that woman to love him or be with him, then she will accept him, number one, because he was honest.
That's good. Oh, that's real good. That's real good. I have a question, and I agree with you that we need to be honest. That we need to be honest with women. How can I guess from my experience, it's challenging to be honest when we don't trust the woman we're supposed to be honest with, and I find that to be true as a boy as well. We need to trust the person we're being honest with, and how can we fix that so that we are actually more honest with one another? How can we build the trust so that there will be more honesty?
Right. First of all, it's a process. It's a process. And the truth of the matter, if we are in Christ, we've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, because we're really not, it's really not the person that we're testing, it's God that's leading us. And we have to lean on him for that guidance, you know. But in the interim, getting to know each other is so, so important. For instance, the relationship I'm in now, I told her everything about it. I mean, when I say everything. And her family found out some stuff about me or whatever, you know, that in the wind when they're asking about Pastor LaVell Jones or whatever. And they went to her, and she and they sat her down. Well, did you know this about him? Did you know that about him? She said, he told me. And her uncle said to her, well, what about this? Did he tell you what happened in Stockton with this and that? She said, yeah, he told me. Well, with this last girl he was with, did he tell you about that? Yeah, he told me. And by the time I met her uncle face-to-face, the man walked up and gave me a big hug and said, you know what, Lavelle, I respect you as a man because you were honest with her. You were totally you left no stone uncovered. Left no stone uncovered. And I think that's important, Marcus, in relationship with man and woman. And I can only speak from a man's perspective because I've never been a woman. But I'm saying a man has got to grow and learn to trust that woman in his life, or just for a mother should have done. I mean, a mother shouldn't hurt her child that in that capacity the male child shouldn't trust his mother as a woman. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I love how you handled that. Like, that is just, that's the way you do it, you know? Yeah. And that's great that you can trust someone enough in a world where we have people that are trying to abuse folks and, you know, use their past against them and all this other stuff, that, you know, you were completely honest and open, and, you know, that's great. I love it. You know, I admire you for that example. Taking notes. Thank you, my brother.
Amen.
Brother Mark.
So I hear several voices, and I want to allow everyone a chance. So I heard. I know I heard Brother Jeff. Who else did I hear?
Tim.
Brother. Okay.
Brother Tim.
I can go after Brother Tim. I'll go after Brother Tim.
Okay, and there were a couple. Maybe another voice.
It sounded like there were a couple of ladies.
Okay. All right.
It's Brother LaBelle right there, man. That is a great answer. That is good. That is real good.
Now who's talking now, not who was talking when I went outside.
I got where I didn't think I had anything to say after hearing him speak. But one thing I did want to say is this. Don't lie. Because when you said you got to trust the woman you're with and all that, and I get that, that's true, but for yourself, don't lie. So when you're asked something or if you get into a discussion about something, just don't lie. Because that part, whether you trust people or not, if you don't lie, if you're not a liar, then you're already on the right path. Now, that doesn't mean you discuss all your business with somebody. The first and foremost, you have to declare that you're not going to lie about something. If something is true, guess what? It's true. So I think that is partly the beginning of truth and honesty in a relationship, that you just don't lie about things. You know what I mean? Because when you
talk about the
process, so if you're meeting someone, you're just meeting that person and you start to get to know them, start to go places, well, subjects are going to come up. Things that you're
going to
discuss,
Tim?
Just don't lie. Yes.
Hey, Tim. Parenthetically, a good liar got to have a good memory.
Yeah, that's true. But, yeah, Marcus, that's part and parcel of a good relationship is just don't lie. Because if you don't lie, you know, you're okay.
Yeah, and I do find that in my experience, you know, if I ever feel like there's something that I don't want to share, you know, instead of me lying about it, I'll just say, you know, I don't feel comfortable sharing that, or whatever, something like that.
Yes.
So I don't have to worry about giving an untruth or something.
Right.
Yeah, thank you. Brother Jeff, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. It's a true fact that honesty is the most powerful weapon that we have to disarm the enemy. Truth. Oh, hallelujah! Truth knocking back where he came from and where he's gonna be bound at. But I want to go back to that first question you asked regarding division in the household and how that the man was taken out the household, separated from his family for that the purpose of that dividing and weakening the structure of the household. And I had recognized a while back one time when me and my wife, we would come under the attack on the weekends. Everything like at least once a month, we would get into this heated discussion. And, you know, it would like, it would be a negative argument. And it took me a minute to pinpoint it, you know, because it mainly happened on the weekends, Saturdays and Sundays. We would just come in from church and or either from our Sunday fellowship, and we would be at each other's throat. And I like, hold on, what's going on? So I started backtracking, and I came to realize that the devil was attacking me and my wife. And I told her, and I had to point it out to her. So one way we could overcome that by telling each other when the devil is attempting to bring division among us. So I pointed out to my wife, this was a couple years ago. I said, baby, we under attack. It seemed like every Sunday, every weekend, we get at each other's throat with an argument. And that it ain't nothing but the devil trying to bring division in our household. And ever since I recognized and I pointed out to her and I told her, we've been good. We, you know, so he can't come in as easily and bring division in my household. And I try and use the same tactic when dealing with my son. You know, sometimes it seems like he don't hear us or he's not listening, but he is, because he'll bring things back up, you know, that we talked to him about back when he was, you know, 17, 18 years of age, and he lets me know he have it down in him. And so sometimes we be having these heated discussions. I one thing I do is I just have to be quiet and let him, you know, say what he has to say. And I like, Lord, help his mind, help his thinking, because I can't help him mature and think the way that I think, because I done had these different experiences, and I don't want him to make the same mistakes that I done made. And so instead of it getting into a heated discussion to where it's like he may not get anything out of it, I'll just be quiet. Because there's certain ways when we have conversation, he'll get on the defensive, and it's like, okay, I'm not able to reach him, so that he don't get, you know, put his guards up and be on the defense. I just be quiet and I just listen, and then I share with him, you know, one of my life experiences, so that the devil can't come in and bring any division. So it's crucial that we be able to recognize when the adversary comes in with his little tactics to cause division. So those are some of the tools that I use.
Yeah. Brother Marcus? Did he leave?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was on mute. I'm sorry. One second. I was on mute. I'm sorry. I wanted to respond to what Brother Jeff said. Thank you for saying that, Brother Jeff. I also want to say this, that we have to be careful not to credit the enemy with things that are really from the flesh, because actually arguments and things of that nature is from flesh. We have pride, we have issues within our flesh, and so as a result we end up arguing with someone else. The enemy's strategies are really, he doesn't cause
argument. He causes confusion in your mind. He gets each individual, he causes confusion within your own self, and then you carry that confusion. That's why it goes back to the scripture that I shared earlier, 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober and be watchful. That's why it's important to be sober, be alert, be aware of where you are. And when you're aware and you're alert and you're sober, then you can think through some of this confusion that comes to your mind, and you can get rid of that before it becomes something that you end up, causing division within the home. So I think a lot of the division that, from my perspective, I think a lot of the division that could be avoided starts with each one of us individually and how we deal with ourselves and our own confusion and issues. Go ahead, Brother Pastor LaBelle.
Yeah, another thing with that, Marcus, is I talked to Pastor Bernardo, who I'm helping out in Sacramento in the late 20s, and I asked him, I said, Pastor, how have you been married to the same woman for 46 years? He said, son, I choose my battles wisely. I don't argue about everything. And then one thing I found out even in my new relationship is women, you can cut a whole lot of stuff off. Women want to be hurt. You may not even go with her decision or whatever, but she wants to feel a part that she's a part of this relationship, and men are just not big-headed to the fact and that he's just going to do what he's going to do anyway, even though he might, but at least listen to what she has to say. Don't cut her off. Don't just act like she's just not a part of it, but you got to make sure that you choose your battles wisely to maintain harmony in that relationship. And that builds trust because one thing she will say is that, you know what, I appreciate the fact that he hears me out. You know, he may even go his own way. And I'm sure the women on the line can attest to this. I'm sure you can appreciate when your man, your husband, your boyfriend, whatever, your significant other, hears you out and make you feel like you have a voice. That builds trust.
Right. I so agree. Yep. Amen.
Brother Mark.
Anybody else?
Yes, Steve.
Brother Mark.
I heard somebody else. They can go ahead.
Is that Sister Julia?
Mark. Yes, Brother Mark, I want to testify
yes, ma'am.
With you about something that I have never seen. I went through that feeling yesterday. I have never seen that many kids come up to the altar and get on their knees and ask for prayer and try to join church yesterday. I have never seen that before. Brought tears to all of our eyes. It was so awesome. You should have seen it. That's all I want to say. I have never seen that many kids come up ice for prayer and getting on their knees yesterday.
Well, that's beautiful, and that's a testament to, I guess, you're talking about kids coming up for prayer? Is that what you're saying?
At the funeral yesterday, at the young lady funeral.
Yeah, that the kids came up for prayer, right?
Yes, the kids
Go ahead,
Marcus.
I'm sorry.
They were all at the funeral.
All right.
From the young
Amen.
Lady.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. Appreciate it. Go ahead, Dee Dee.
Amen. That's a blessing, Sister Julia. Thank you. I saw that as well. But my goodness, this here morning, all this transparency is key. And brothers, I thank you guys. I can't. Somebody's on.
Hold on one second, Dee Dee. Somebody has your phone on speaker. If you can mute your line, please. Thank you.
But the key is to tell your own story. It's so freeing when, like Pastor LaBelle said, if you tell your stuff and when it's repeated from someone else, because it's always going to be somebody that's going to, did you hear this, did you hear that, Yeah, they heard it, but they heard it from me, so it's the truth. And that's so freeing. And then the praying for one another and the submissiveness and the love that we have to really give to each other. And, again, it's not just for our husbands, but it's for our brothers and our sons and our nephews and our cousins and our fathers and our uncles. It's just the men. If we really were to be honest and pray for one another and love one another, we would have healthier children now. So like Sister Julia mentioned, all those young folks going up to the altar, if we would start right in our homes and just be more loving and honest, because honesty is the key to freedom. And like Brother Jeff was talking about the enemy, you're right, Marcus, the devil ain't all that powerful. It's what we choose to do with it. Yeah, he starts fires. He's flicks matches, but if we choose to take that little fire and add fuel to it, then
wait,
it will
wait,
be.
Wait. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying if we just realize that the enemy is only as powerful as we allow him to be, so if we are able to see what's going on and we see the smoke come and we can cut it off with what we do. So we can't control anyone else. Like, I can't control what my husband does or my son does, but I can control how I react to it and respond to it. And if we are called to really be intercessors and be prayer warriors and stuff, then we have to start diffusing some of this stuff. But a lot of it is with being transparent. And I appreciate the whole flow of this call, how if you just really be honest with people, a lot of the other stuff wouldn't start. A lot of the confusion and the discord and the strife. If you just say, hey, and I think we talked about it on another call in the beginning of a relationship, let somebody know, I really ain't trying to be tied down right now. We can date. We can kick it. We can go to the movies. But if you're trying to go over to David Bridal next week, this ain't what we're doing. And I think that would just, you know, a lot of the confusion would end, if that makes any sense. Thank you, brother. I love you. Amazing.
I totally. Amen. I love you, too. I totally agree. Yeah, the honesty, man. Yes, who was that?
Good
guy?
Morning. It's Pretty Patrice.
Hey, Pretty Patrice.
Good morning. Thank you for your declaration. I just want to piggyback on what everybody else has shared about being honest. Sometimes one may have a tendency to care how you're going to handle the truth. So they don't give you the whole truth. They may give you bits and pieces, or they may lie by omission. If you're not giving me all of it, you might as well lie, because I'm still not understanding or getting the total and full story. I need the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I can deal with that better than I can deal with omission. I can deal with that better than I can deal with a lie. Because then I feel like you can trust me totally with whatever.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, if you're not going to give the whole truth, it's so important. Sometimes people withhold certain things and think, well, I told you the truth, but you didn't tell me the whole thing. But, yeah, I agree. I agree. Anyone else want to chime in on that? All right. So we're talking about division and how things can be divided and not just romantic relationships, but just in general, we have a division among women and men, mothers and sons, and that's one way. What about the removal of men from the household and from our churches, and the removal of men from authority? How do you all see that can be fixed or changed?
Let me share this with you from a man's perspective. I'm not pro-woman or anything like that, and I think a woman can do just what a man can do. I have no issue with that. But when there's a shift of power in the house, even in the church or what have you, we have to be careful. Because one thing my dad taught me, my dad was a man's man. He was a man's man, and my mother didn't want from anything. But there's an absence of men in church. There's an absence of men in homes, to where women have no other choice but to take the authoritative. They, I mean, they can't let it sag or they can't let it just go to pieces. I mean, they have to do that. But when there's a man in the house, Sister Dion put something on Facebook the other day. The women that have men, it's important that they embrace the man and build him up, you know, and not tear him down. Because the bottom line is, Brother Marcus, we need each other. We need each other in order to make it work, to make it go, to make the family better, to make the church better. You know, the man needs the woman needs the man. But the bottom line is, and I don't want to offend nobody, but I got the word to back me up. God never placed a woman over a man. Never did. You know, and so that's very important that a man recognizes the fact that he is a man. My son and I were friends for a while. My baby boy Brandon, he's 20 years old, and my brother went to his job some months back and went to talk to him about me, and then I got a phone call the next day, and he said, "Hey, Dad, this is Brandon." And he called me and he said, "Dad, can we go out to eat?" I said, "Sure." You know, so we went out to eat, and to see what my son has become as a young man, going to school, working two jobs, and all of that, to see the byproduct of what I've raised and what his mother raised, even though we're not together. And my daughter, she's 17, she's a senior in high school, and she wanted her nose pierced. Even though her mother and I are not together, you know the first thing she said? "Call your daddy." And it made me feel good. You know, that makes me feel good. So women have got to build men up. But men got to build women up, too.
Right, right. It's got to come from both. I agree. Anyone else? So we're talking about the removal of men from authority and from leadership. How can we kill that and fix that so they're not removed? And I totally agree with Pastor Lavelle that that we need each other, you know. How can we fix that? How else can we fix that?
Brother Marcus, I have to come out of that.
Hey, Dee Dee.
I really think, and I can, just from experience and coming from a single mom who was very dominant and strong-willed and took care of us, and even though my dad lived across town, it was still as if, you know, mom was everything, and not to discredit the part that he did play, but we had a good conversation yesterday. My son, my husband, and my god brother was over from Stockton, and to hear three men talk about their lives did something to my heart. My son gave his perspective as, you know, being the oldest and feeling like once, me and their dad split, that he took on a different role and that he has a different understanding of what I went through than his younger sisters because they feel entitled. I mean, my son knew the real struggle. And then for my husband, he told his story, but my godbrother, who's like 60, to just hear him say he never met his dad, his mom was everything, and that he slept on a couch. He said he went from sleeping in the bed with his mom because that's all they had. They were so poor that his bedroom was the living room, and then he never had his own bed until he was 20. I mean, just his story. But the pain that he shared as far as not being able to, not being free enough in himself. Like you said, he has children now that he wants to share with them some things that he went through and the way that, to let them know the reason why he's the way that he is today is because of trying to shelter them from having the childhood that he had. But what it's done is stifled them because he's not open and honest with them because I hope I'm making sense, because he just wants them to think that there's nothing that he's always been able to be a provider, and that's not the case. So we were just talking yesterday about sometimes if you are able to sit down with your children and tell your story, it may make a difference, because sometimes our kids, our spouses or whatever may not know exactly why you function the way that you do because they don't know where you come from, especially if you haven't been honest. So I think if you're able to just say, just give people a little bit of your background so that maybe you can have a better relationship today if they have an understanding of where, what you've been through. That makes sense. Because sometimes, if like I know my youngest daughter, she don't know what really went down with me and her dad because she was a baby, but the other two do. So you know what I mean? So her perspective is different. And I don't want to rock her world and tell her anything, but just know that, you know, Mom went through some things, and I'm going to share with you, so hopefully you won't make those same mistakes. You know what I'm saying? No, Mom has not always been on a prayer call every day and, you know, trying to live better. So, you know,
right,
I just think if we're transparent, it'll make a healthier, you know, our children may be healthier, our relationships may be healthier. You know, I just really think that people need to be honest. So I appreciate this and not make people think. Another one thing that bothers me, if you're lying, because like you said, lies catch up with you. I have people that have lied to their children about who they are, and when the real them show up, their children are devastated. So that right there is why I'm so open and honest with my kids, because I don't want them to find out, you know, some stuff that I did. They're not going to find out everything, but just to help them be healthy adults and help my marriage be stronger. So that's it, brother. This call is amazing, like always. I love you. Thank you again.
Yeah, I love you too.
Hey, Dee Dee, let me say this to you. You know, I say this all the time. That's why there's not a lot of young people in church today like it used to be. It's because the older people don't want to tell them to come from. To believe that they've been saved life, and that's not true, because some of them had 3 babies before they were 21 years old, and it's important, as you said, to be honest with our babies and let them know. You know, I had I told my son just the other day. I said, Brandon, because he always says to me, Dad, you can talk to me. You can talk to me. Well, he's my child, but he's grown now. You know, but he's still my child, and I'm going to use that outlet to be able to talk to him and be honest with him about some things that I'm even dealing with now, you know. But I think it would be a whole lot more younger people in church if the older people told them what happened to them in the state of Texas and the cotton fields of Georgia, you know, that yes, I had it hard. Yes, I messed up. Yes, I had 3 babies. You know, I had 3 baby daddies, and whatever the case may be. You know, but I'm here where I am because God brought me, and I was able to grow up even in the midst of it. And if God can change me, He can change you. And that's where I am in my life, because when I first started this call 2 years ago, you know, y'all, I look good. But those of you that knew me, the Dion, the Dee Dee, who really knew me, knew that I had some issues in my life. You know, yeah, I was preaching, I was teaching, I was preaching across the country and doing all that, but yeah, I was struggling with some things. And today, I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm not ashamed to tell people where I came from, the relationships that I messed up, because of the lies that I told. I'm sorry, I can take over your call.
Good.
I'm sorry.
Okay, that's good. You know, that's good. That's good. Anybody else before we close it off?
Marcus, real quick, I just want to remind y'all, Friday Night Live is on tonight. You might not want to miss it. I missed a couple of weeks, but not tonight. Tune in. I may just bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all for your contribution. I think this is a great call, great discussion. And y'all have a great day today. Happy Friday. Enjoy.
Happy Friday.
Be blessed and encouraged. Love you guys. See you on Friday Night Live.